the Warriors hosting the Lakers tomorrow night, and with more from Lakerland, nice enough to join us, ESPN senior writer Ramona Shelburne. Ramona, how about the Lakers and the Pelicans last night? Boy, how much would the NBA love to see that in the first round of the playoffs this year?
Yeah, oh my gosh, right? Like, I thought that was kind of fun seeing the Laker kids, but, you know, there was a little old school, new school with Zion and LeBron, right? Because I keep trying to think who Zion reminds me of, you know? Keep trying to think, like, you know, who, which player, what the comp is. I always said Larry Johnson, but, like, seeing him out there against LeBron was pretty interesting, you know, just head-to-head. You know, just the way they look standing next to each other. You know what I mean? He's not LeBron. He has a different kind of game. But I don't know physically if you could find a better comp, right, in terms of the athleticism and the way they play.
What would be appealing about Pelicans-Lakers if you took those two guys off the floor? Or is that just I mean, and I really, I mean, it's an abstract argument, but I think most people want to see LeBron v. Zion. They're not necessarily married to Pelicans v. Lakers.
Well, it's interesting because there's this whole, you know, all those guys from the Lakers who got traded for Anthony Davis against Anthony Davis. You know, all the Laker kids, Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart and Lonzo. And then there's Anthony Davis against his former team, you know. So there's that drama of it. But I feel like it's sort of eclipsed by the Zion-LeBron dynamic. It just, like, you know, I was never sure how Zion's game was going to translate to the NBA when I saw him in college. Like, he seemed like a power dunker. Did he have enough? Can he shoot well enough? Did he have enough game outside of just being physically imposing and better than everyone? And, like, I think he is. I mean, from what we've seen so far, wow. Like that guy, if he can stay healthy, is a next level kind of player. And so, yeah, you know, your question of what's appealing about that matchup beyond those two guys, like, I don't know, are you into the revenge tour? Are you into that, you know, like people in New Orleans booing Anthony Davis and the Laker kids trying to get revenge on the team that traded him, gave up on him? That's kind of fun, too.
All right, so we talk about this stuff all the time, and I start to worry we've lost perspective. Looking at this Warriors team from the outside, let's forget the summer and the draft pick and the mid-level exception and trade exception and all that stuff. If just what they have now was healthy, whereabouts would you have that finishing in the Western Conference, and how realistic is it in one offseason, in your mind, to turn that into a legitimate championship contender?
I mean, I was one of those fools who kept thinking the Warriors were going to be really good this year.
Right? Like, me too, Ramona. It's okay.
Yeah, before the year, like, I was like, look, they got Steph and they have Draymond. That's 2/3 of a team that won a title in 2015. And now they're on a quest to prove that it wasn't just Durant that made them win. Right. Like, I talked myself into that. And I just, you know, I assumed Clay would be back right after All-Star, something, you know, somewhere in and around March. And so you can close your eyes and see that team that, you know, it's just the sort of like older, wiser version of 2015, and they're all still just as good. And, but then I think what we've come to appreciate about that 2015 team that maybe we probably should have appreciated then, but we definitely do now, is, I mean, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, yep. all that strength and numbers quality to that team, that actually really mattered. You know, we all just saw, you know, Steph being Steph and how great they were. But I think that the depth of that team is what's really lacking. So when I close, I do think they'll add to this team in the offseason. They have, whether they make a giant trade or not, like, they have enough ways of doing that where they can go find another guy like Andre Iguodala, right? Like, they can find an impact piece, whether it's another star, I don't know. But if it's somebody like Andre, that'd be a heck of an ad. I think they go right back into contention.
Ramona Shelburne, nice enough to join us, ESPN senior writer. How heavy, Ramona, of a burden has Kobe's passing been for the Lakers? And do you have any sense of the extent to which Monday might help start to bring closure for the franchise and the team?
Yeah, I think it's been really heavy for the last month because, I mean, you just drive around Los Angeles, you just see Kobe everywhere, right? It's all anybody's been talking about. But I also believe that human beings cannot exist in that state for too long, right? Like, I know that people have this deep over, you know, they, when a family member dies, like a, you know, a parent or a spouse or whoever it is, like it's a really heavy thing that you don't get over for a long time. But as sad as this was for the Lakers organization, a lot of the guys on the team didn't really know Kobe, right? Like they knew of him. They might have played against him a few times. So it was the scope of the tragedy that was so terrible, but it's not like he was in their lives every single day. So I really think that it was the month long of mourning and people talking about it is that was a long, heavy time that I don't think that the team can really exist in much longer. And I think Monday does give them a sense of closure. Like we're obviously going to bring it up when it gets back to the playoffs, right? They're going to have to win for Kobe. It's going to be a storyline and something that they talk about all the time. The people at the Lakers who were the closest to Kobe, quite honestly, are the people who work for the Lakers, right? Like, you know, Rob Blanco was really close to them. Jeannie Buss, Linda Rambis, Kurt Rambis, like Judy Cito, who's the one of their lead trainers. I mean, she was Kobe's personal trainer for a long time, right? Those are the people who I think have like the deepest connection and the deepest wound that'll probably be real sad for a long time. But I think the team was ready to move on and move past that on Monday, and I think that did probably give them a pretty good way of doing so.
When, in your estimation, did the Frank Vogel's going to get fired really soon narrative die?
I mean, it never started. Like it died almost like from the very beginning of the year, right? Like they lost that first game against the Clippers, and then they were really good, and it was like they never had, like, if they would have got off to a really bad start, I think it would have just been there the whole year. But they were so good out of the gate that it just never even got going. If anything, it was over the summer, right? We were all kind of, he was just like the most random choice, right? Like it was just, if you would have told me the most unlikely person to be the next coach of the Lakers, like once they got rid of Luke Walton, if there were like Vegas betting odds, okay, like that was the like most unlikely name I would have thought of. I just never, where did that come from? There's no connection to the franchise. There's no, right? And so it was just so random that I don't, you know, I think almost people, like I was at his press conference and I'll never forget this. It was the first time that Rob Pelinka had spoken to the media since Magic Johnson called him out on First Take. And I mean, obviously that feels like a long time ago, right? And it was like, nobody even asked Frank a question. Like, it was like, I think somebody worked for the team, like the team broadcaster asked Frank a question or two, but then everybody just kept going back to Rob because it was like, you know, I mean, I think I went up to his agent afterwards and he was like, so how did he do? And I go, oh, I think he did great. And the surface, I go, to be honest, I think most of us just feel sorry for the guy, you know, like, I mean, he walked into such a tough situation and a tough position with the, you know, the way the press conference was and everything that was going on with the Lakers at that time.
The only question he did get asked was, how does he feel about Jason Kidd being assigned to his coaching staff, pretty much. All right, before we let you go, Ramona, I'm curious. We talked about how wide open this year would be from a championship contention standpoint, and we kind of have had a prevailing wisdom top three, certainly by this point, of Milwaukee and the two L.A. teams.
Yeah.
Outside of that group, who do you think is the most serious championship contender?
I like Boston. Jason Tatum's all of a sudden started to realize he's really good. And he started playing like that every night. And like you're not too young for this, right? I mean, I think that all-star nod for him was a big, big moment. And I think I like Boston a lot. I like, you know, I picked Philly before the year. I don't know. I'm not seeing it. They don't really show any signs of that. And the team nobody really wants to play in the playoffs is probably Houston right now because they're just such a strange matchup, right? Like now, like, you know, the Lakers played them like kind of real early on in this no center experiment time, and they lost that game. I don't think you can make too much of it just because of, you know, it was right after Kobe passed. There was a lot of stuff going on, but like, I mean, it's just weird playing a team that plays no centers. It's just a strange matchup. So you have to impose your will on them. It's a game where like you'd think the Lakers have one of the best front court players in the league, and you know, Anthony Davis, but you know, he didn't exactly, you know, force Houston into a lot of difficult situations in that game. He kind of stayed on the perimeter and didn't really attack much. Like there's it's a tough match. I'll put Houston in there in the West. Utah, we thought they were going to make a run, and then they just, you know, they're just kind of falling apart lately.
Yep.
But Houston feels the most dangerous to me.
Thank you, Ramona, for your time. By the way, any go-to cold remedies? Your buddy Ray, and he's doing better, you know.
Yeah.
He's very tough. He's kind of had the sniffles this week, and we've been trying to help him out with some cold remedies. Do you have a go-to for your buddy Ray as far as a cold remedy?
You know what I do? I'm desperate to hear Ray's reaction to this, okay? So please let him just do his Ratto thing. I go to one of those, like, fancy juice bars, okay? Like, those just totally California, L.A., San Francisco, whatever, you know, woo-woo juice bars. And I get one of those. I just go and I order, like, the lemon, cayenne, ginger, you know, turmeric, everything. I'm just like, anything that could potentially help here, I just put it in there. And I just burn the back of my mouth with, like, the ginger and the cayenne and all that stuff. And it's, I don't know, I do that, like, almost every day where I get some to go. So I don't know. I think that helps. But mostly I think you just need to sleep a lot.
And by how many days does that cut the length of your cold?
It makes me feel better, right? So I think it's a placebo effect. But there is something about, like, burning the back of your throat with, like, ginger and
yes.
cayenne and all that stuff.
I was telling him yesterday. I just go hot water with ginger and honey. Boom. Just burn your mouth with the ginger a little bit. It's good for you.
Yeah. The other thing I think is better is just literally take, like, some NyQuil and, you know, two or three NyQuil, just pop them and just go to sleep for as long as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So really all you're saying is... get like three fingers of good bourbon, pour in some Windex,
yeah.
and throw that down your throat because you'll get the burning you're after and you'll get
yes.
that numbness that NyQuil gives you.
Bingo.
Absolutely. There it is.
Thank you, Ramona. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There you go, Ray.